You're listening to Cairo News Radio Middays.
Welcome to Cairo News Radio Middays. Joining us is the world-famous Bob Rivers from a bunker 20,000 feet below Henderson, Nevada, where there is clean drinking water. He has a silo filled with a silo filled with 20,000 tortillas to last him through the nuclear winter, which is protected by over 200 trained dogs that Bob trained himself. Welcome, Bob.
So good to have you. Intel, Jack, and it is the fastest elevator you will ever ride.
I get the bends when I use it. It's crazy. I can't. I get used to it. I guess.
I've got the Bob. I got the Friday tongue twisties where you can't. You've been talking all week, and then all of a sudden you get to Friday, and all of a sudden you can no longer form words or sentences. It slowly. Yeah. It happens Friday right around the third hour of the show. Did you ever get this back in the day, Bob?
Yes, actually, I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's tough. Yeah. But at this age, I get it Monday through Friday. So,
hey, so before we get into this Paul McCartney thing, this debacle that happened with you, did you happen to catch Joe Biden falling and then the fallout from that, where everybody was mocking an 80-year-old man for falling over a sandbag? Did you see that?
I knew I should have done my homework. You know, I saw something that says Joe Biden fell. Mm-hmm. And then I was actually, this is crazy. I was on InfoWars like an hour or so ago. And there was a talk about how it was they tried to cover up Joe Biden falling. Sometimes I'll actually go to a fake news site just because, I don't know. It's like World Federation Wrestling or the Weekly World News. It's just more fun to find out.
And that's where the bunker supplies are. That's where you're buying.
Exactly. Get my bunker supplies. How did you know
that? I'm there.
So, yes, I mean, I don't know much about it. And I'll tell you, the time Donald Trump walked off the plane with toilet paper sticking to his shoe, I didn't give that much of my time either. But maybe where you're going with this is, you know, is he capable? Is he too old? Is this an indicator of some more serious illness?
I was more so going in the direction of, have we reached a point of vitriol in the United States where an 80-year-old man falls and people choose to mock it, right? Where instead of, I think if this had happened to Rutherford B. Hayes, right? Or if this had happened, I owe you
an apology. I prejudged.
You're
being kind here.
This is
wonderful. I could not agree more. Although, I mean, there's a part of me.
I mean, it is kind of funny, to be honest with you.
Let's put it this way. If I walked on an Alaska Airlines flight to Seattle.
Yeah.
And I saw him stumbling and then he turned left and got in the pilot seat.
You'd get off the plane. We all would. It's okay. I get off the plane. And by the way, Rutherford B. Hayes was on the first U.S. Olympic gymnastics team, and he specialized in floor exercise. Sure. So don't be mocking on Rutherford B. Hayes' footwork.
I'm just saying that I feel like this kind of reminds me of if Bill Clinton, let me go back even further. Gerald Ford was known to be very preoccupied with his own personal fitness. He was a very athletic president.
Sure.
The way that Chevy Chase chose to portray him on Saturday Night Live was this kind of bumbling, clumsy, inarticulate individual. And people kind of ate it up, and it kind of contributed to the myth that Gerald Ford was this kind of an idiot who didn't know the difference between a fork and a knife, right? I feel like what is going on right now in the United States is that the myth is often more important than the truth. So we see Joe Biden fall and people say, is he still fit to be the president of the United States? Leaving out the portion where he stood for 2 hours, shaking the hands of 300 graduates from wherever it was.
Sure.
We leave that out, right?
And it's also a distraction from the fact that he just negotiated a very difficult bipartisan deal you had to thread the needle. And by all accounts, his decades of experience in those kinds of negotiations helped avert what could have been an economic tragedy. So, yeah, it's all worth. But here's the thing about propaganda. That's why I saw the story and I went to InfoWars.
Yeah.
To me, that stuff is all it just as soon as I see the story, it's propaganda. I mean, if someone falls or stumbles, there's always someone there to take advantage of it. And yes, it's not our better angels. It's not our better nature. But I think if you go back in history, decades or thousands of years, or even Fred Flintstone's time, you know, it's kind of human nature to knock someone down if they appear weak for a second.
Well, let me ask you this, though, to that point. Jack mentioned that we've kind of digressed into the society that, you know, looks for ways to make fun or put people down. When President Biden fell yesterday on stage at the Air Force graduation ceremony, Air Force Academy, you could see what disturbed me about it was you could see graduates who were in the stands behind the podium there who were kind of snickering at the president falling. Yeah. And I'm wondering if you know, it's been that way throughout time, but a generation ago, if the president had fallen, would someone have had that kind of reaction, or is that kind of a current thing?
Well, that's a fair point. And we are in a different time, but I don't think we're basically different as human beings. We've always mocked people. But we're in a time where mocking is like dry tinder in the desert, and it quickly becomes a forest fire.
Yeah.
And it crowds out other things that might be more important. And that's the nature of our media, which is why having really good, thoughtful people analyze this stuff, I think, is the future.
Where are they on? Can we hear them? Can we listen to them?
Well, you're about to be replaced by AI, by the way. So exactly. Have a couple of months.
There is a portion of it which is funny in the same way that it's funny that W. Bush almost choked to death on a pretzel, right? That's funny. There's something that is morbidly macabre and funny about it.
There's and something about pretzels and ham sandwiches. They both are a little bit funny.
Yeah. Right. But then there, at the same time, there's something that is also concerning when you see I don't want to get into trouble, so I won't name any commentators, but it was kind of the just people sinking their teeth into it and playing like the Benny Hill yakety sax on top of the president falling. It's funny the first time. When you see it repeated over and over and over and over again with people playing Adele, you know, someone like as he falls to the at a certain point in time, you go, let's get some new writers in the room, right? Let's try to work it out a little bit more.
From your mouth to God's ears, I think that a lot of people are getting sick of that stuff, but I also think it works because it works. It's the reason there's so many Spider-Man movies, because it works, because that reptilian brain, you know, cuts through the clutter and becomes something that everybody talks about. It's effective. It's why there are no thoughtful campaign ads. They're all attack ads, because it kind of works. But
Speaking of ads that work, let's get to your. You told me this story yesterday.
And by the way, this is embarrassing. It's even more embarrassing than I've owned 3 timeshares. By the way,
I didn't mention your name when I said I've been to a timeshare. Even better to have one is having a friend who's got one.
But to put a cap on the timeshare thing, Jack. In the day of timeshares, which is not now, they're not that popular now, but people still do fall for them. Back in my day, the timeshare was what Airbnb and Uber are today.
Yeah.
If you wanted something, but you couldn't
VRBO.
Afford it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And VRBO, you would share it. And Airbnb has matured that so that you don't have to make a lifetime commitment to go for a week.
Right on.
So anyway, back to my gullibility. You know, when you are as famous and world-renowned as I am,
of course,
Jack frequently points out,
every
once in a while you need the universe to knock you upside the head and remind you you're basically dumb. So I fell for a fake news article. But what's interesting is not that I fell for it, but why I fell for it. See, it wasn't on Facebook. And I'm still on Facebook, which is a little embarrassing. You guys all saw the great Facebook burn on Ted Lasso?
I haven't yet. I take every opportunity
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay.
The only thing left on Facebook is grandparents and babies. Anyway, so I just ruined it.
It's all good.
Here's what happened. I got this article about Paul McCartney. Now, I love Paul McCartney. He's my favorite Beatle. Almost a tie with Lennon, but Lennon's, you know, kind of a jerk sometimes in my mind. But Paul, I don't know how much you know about Paul. Jack, you're a musician, so you know all about the Beatles, even though,
you know,
they were a combo in the 60s. Anyway, Paul was arrested, busted for pot in 1980 in Tokyo. You remember this, Mike?
Yep.
Yeah, he had 7 grams on him. It wasn't a lot of marijuana.
No,
but
no.
It was, yeah.
Well, this could be fake news. By the way, if I'm going to tell you this and it's fake news, that's going to make this even better. They canceled a Wings 11-city concert tour and deported Paul McCartney because he was arrested not with a joint. He had a half a pound.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
Of marijuana. And by the way, they didn't call it cannabis then. They called it marijuana. Paul said it was solely for his personal use. And looking at his eyes, I totally believe it. But because of what he had, he could have been charged with smuggling and served up to 10 years in prison. So it was a big deal back then. They did deport him and let him go. He was never charged. So yesterday, I'm on an email group with some really brilliant friends of mine. I'm talking PhDs, educated, smart guys. I like to hang around with smart people, smarter than me. Well, I am here right now. No reaction to that?
I was going to laugh out loud, but I don't want to insult anybody. No,
I have better mic discipline than Spike does, so I kill my mic every time when someone else is speaking, and so I will occasionally laugh and not turn the microphone back on,
okay.
As opposed to Mr. O'Neill, who's just mic on all the time.
What? Yeah, I got you.
All right, so to the point on this, in an email group text with a bunch of really smart people, someone said, wow, this is in People magazine. I can't believe Paul did this. And it's an article about Paul McCartney dated Friday, June 2nd, which means today, okay? This is, and by the way, I think that date must update every day because I read it yesterday. But it says, Big Pharma in outrage over Paul McCartney's latest business venture. He fires back with this.
I'm looking
in an insightful one-on-one interview, one of the world's most popular stars reveals how he wouldn't be here without CBD. And because this came from my intelligent friends, and because I know Paul enjoys the benefits of plant therapy, I thought, well, this is interesting. And I started reading it. And by the way, the People magazine logo was perfect. The layout of the page, it was a People magazine article. So I sort of fell for it being People magazine. And he starts talking about CBD and how he's endorsing this company, Bioscience CBD. Now, I'm buying it, but then all of a sudden I'm going, I think I read an article about Tommy Chong that was pretty similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is a real common thing. And so I did what you should always do when you get that weird feeling. I immediately went and Googled Paul McCartney CBD. And I said, if that's a real story, then it's going to be reported everywhere. And as soon as nothing came up, I went, oh.
Got punked by people you trust?
Yeah. So this is, looking at this scam, this has been around since December of last year.
Yes.
And it says the website loaded what may have appeared to be credible articles that claimed McCartney had endorsed CBD gummies. However, this article was designed by scammers. The logos, layouts for Time.com, People.com, and other big-name news organizations, as I get a pop-up ad, thank you so much, Snopes.com, says were duplicated to fool readers into believing that they were on those publishers' real websites. Wow. Okay, so yes. this is a advanced scam, then.
This is where we're headed with AI, by the way, because if something like the People logo or something like your doctor's letterhead, if something will cause you to suspend, you know, your careful critical thinking, I mean, if it can happen to someone as smart as me.
Of course, right. Yeah, exactly. So,
and then Paul made a jingle, CBDs. Oh, my trouble seems so far away.
So this says, we found various websites online that falsely claimed McCartney endorsed Sweet Relief CBD gummies, Pure Calms high-grade CBD gummies, Pure Kana CBD gummies, Hillstone. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. This is a scam. I'll give you this, Bob. this is a scam that most people could fall for, I think. Because the one, I'm looking at the layout of the website right now, and it looks like it's legit. And I'm also not removed from the idea that you have a celebrity who's been given a CBD campaign to feature. I know that Cheech and Chong have done this. Various other marijuana smokers have endorsed various CBD products. And so this would make sense to anybody. I think it's just how clever the scammers have gotten on Facebook, or as I like to call it, Boomerville. They've gotten so clever that they know how to make it. They know how to make it appear as if you can, as if it's legitimate. And I would fall for this as well.
What got me was the testimonial from Tom Hanks. Seriously, scroll down this ad. There's a testimony from Halle Berry, Randy Jackson, Tom Hanks, Drew Carey. Jeez.
Tom Selleck.
There was one dead giveaway in the title, by the way, which I should have spotted. You see, Paul wouldn't do CBD. He would do THC.
Yeah.
So,
this is very true.
Anyway, yeah, lots of it, too.
Green bud high.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, but so, Bob, did this get at your what part of you did this affect emotionally when you realized that you had been duped? Were you relieved that your big brain was able to solve the ruse or the caprice, or did you feel ashamed in some way?
No, I was ashamed, and I didn't go all the way down. You know, I went part of the way down, and then I checked it, but I still... So here's how I feel about all news. If you get your news from MSNBC or CNBC, or you get it from CNN, or you get it from Fox, or wherever you get it, from the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, I try to read them all. Figuring out what's real, well, those papers, you know, they generally report facts, but they leave some facts out, and they, you know, highlight certain other facts. So generally, as I read now, I feel like it's a landmine, and I need to do research to make sure I see all points of view. Why else would InfoWars be in my browser history?
Right, yeah.
Again, so, the cheap bullets and lima beans are why I go. Yeah.
Spike, I remember you fell for the luxury high-speed ferry across Lake Washington.
I did. Remember that story? Oh, I was so happy. That was so embarrassing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anybody else notice that it was April 1st? Oh, geez.
But it's a game. It's have fun and pay attention and look at different points of view.
Bob Rivers, you can find the Bob Rivers podcast anywhere you can download podcasts. I was about to say Bobcast.
Podcast.
And then you can also Bob, what's the name of your blog again where they can read your various and sundry thoughts?
Yeah, it's complex. It's bobrivers.blog. And would love to say hi to anybody. You can always email me on there. And it is a pleasure every week to be on with Jack and Spike.
It is a pleasure for us, Mr. Rivers. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, there is a new anti-narcotic addiction drug that was invented inadvertently. Found out how they did it when we get back right after this. That's so nice, Spike, of Kate Stone to buy advertising for herself. Isn't that nice?
That's an investment in your career.
That's an investment in your future. Yeah. When you that's like me saying, you know, the Cairo Middays brought to you by Jack Stein.
I'm a wonderful sponsor of this station and content producer.
Can you, Andrew, can you grab that clip? Can you grab
the amount that I have spent in the break room on cheese sticks?
Yes.
I believe I deserve a little sponsorship.
Wait, can you grab, Andrew, can you grab Kate saying, I'm a wonderful sponsor for the show? I need that. I need that drop in my life. Spike, you know what I was thinking about? We could talk about this addiction thing, but I was just on Twitter and I just saw some kids did a senior prank at their high school, and it seemed like it was pretty wholesome. You know what their senior prank was at their high school?
Go ahead.
They planted a bunch of trees at the high school, which doesn't sound like a prank, but they planted them in such a way that it was a nuisance, but it wasn't bad. It was just along this one particular walkway.
Oh, cause I thought they planted in the principal's car.
No. They basically there's this way of walking up to the school, and previously before these seniors went and put it, the trees in the ground. It was just this field, and they put these trees there, which is, seems like a pretty wholesome senior prank.
Yeah.
And also to donate something to the school, I think that's really nice.
Nice.
And it got me thinking about my senior prank when I was in high school. A lot of people don't know this, but I dropped out of high school twice. I'm probably the only person in the United States that ever dropped out of high school twice. But when we were talking about the senior prank that we were going to do, I remember it because we were kind of kicking ideas back and forth about what's the prank and what's something that we can do that's inoffensive but it's still something to be remembered by. So someone came up with the idea and they said, "Well, what if we like took our cars and we parked them inside the gym? Wouldn't that be so funny if we got some keys?" And someone was like, "Well, we might ruin the floor of the gym, so that's not the best idea."
Yeah.
And then somebody said, "Well, last year they got 10,000 little rubber ducks and they put them all around the school. Isn't that so funny?" And people were like, "Yeah, but it like clogged up the pool and they had to hire cleaners to come and get them out of the vents and stuff like that." And then somebody else said, "Well, what if we took apart desks and we put them in the ceiling of the temporary classrooms?" And someone was like, "Yeah, that's a couple thousand pounds of metal and lucite that's just going to be above people. That's probably a bad idea." And I just remember this one guy, his name was Aaron, and he had gone to he'd not been in high school for a couple of years because he went to prison for car theft. He had stolen a bunch of cars outside of a Safeway and parked them because he was a criminal genius at 16. He parked them in the fire road behind his house. And so,
wow.
So he had stolen a couple dozen cars and didn't know what to do with them because when you're 16, you don't exactly know Manny down at the chop shop. So what do you do with a bunch of, you know, Hondas and Scions and whatnot? So anyway, he chimes up and he says, "You know what I think would be funny, you guys?" And he, of course, this is the cool kid, right? Because he's been to prison. He was in juvie. So he's obviously, he knows what's up. He goes, "You know what'd be really funny is if we get a bunch of mannequins and put them all around the school like they're dead bodies." And he was like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, so we put one in the pool. And we put one hanging from the flagpole." It was so dark, Spike. I'm telling you, it was so bizarre. Everybody was like, "Yeah, we're not gonna do that, Aaron. But thanks for your contribution.
Thanks for kicking in there, my friend.
Hey, thanks. You know, we're just kind of brainstorming here. Thanks for bringing everybody down with that idea." So what they ended up doing, someone hacked into the bell system, and they played the trumpet and the saxophone part from Van Morrison's Domino. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Boop. Andrew, can you grab that? It's the trumpet and saxophone part from the song Domino. Can you grab that for us? Thank you.
I'm working on it.
Thank you so much. So they hacked into the bell system, and so that played every break and every between every class.
That's great.
Which was funny for the first like half day. By day five, it was maddening because they couldn't figure out how to change it back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right.
Oh, I love this.
Right.
End it, yeah.
Right. So, but for every class, it was this entire section he starts singing again. And so then it would fade out right there where the last hit was, which, again, is funny. But the bell went off when class ended and then when class began. So in between class, you'd hear like, "Okay, so next week, you guys, we're going to be talking about the Civil War." And then the bell would go off, bop, ba-da-da-da-ba-ba-da-da. And you'd be like, "Okay, great." And then you'd walk to your next class and you'd sit down in health class with Mr. Wright. And he'd be like, "Okay, guys, so let's talk about anatomy." And then all of a sudden the bell would go off again and it would bop, ba-da-da-da-ba-ba. And so eventually, they figured it out, but it was pretty insane. So I'm curious, do you guys have any crazy senior pranks that you guys had or anything that was...
You got to remember that I went to school, like I said, it was in the early 80s, right? And so what we did was, it was culturally inappropriate. I'll tell you about it. That we all dressed up like American Indians and rode out to this boat in the harbor and dumped all the tea.
Oh, you're going to get canceled. Spike's going to get canceled.
No, but here's really what we did, because I went to an engineering school. Right. A school that taught, you know, I mean, you would not believe some of the engineering degrees that came out of our school, some different labs that we had. We had a statue of the school's first principal that was out. I mean, because our school was over 100 years. I was in the 98th graduating class of our school.
Wow.
And we had a principal's statue out in the courtyard as you approach the entrance to the school. These guys, you know the restaurant Big Boy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
These
yeah,
guys
yeah.
removed the statue of the principal and put Big Boy up on the stand. I mean, with the name plaque still there, it was epic.
Oh, that's good stuff. Chris Martin, anything? Senior pranks?
Yeah, I wasn't involved with it. I think that this has been done a few times, but somebody took a car apart in the parking lot and put it back together inside the school. So yeah. that it was in the foyer.
That
so.
Amazes me that people can pull that together.
Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy P-Bass, I had a friend named P-Bass in high school. His real name was Zach, but everybody called him P-Bass because he played a
Fender Precision Bass. Yeah, yeah.
Which is a nickname that I gave him, by the way, freshman year of high school. Nice. And then our senior year of high school to see that every teacher, every principal, everybody in the school called him P-Bass was brought me nothing but joy to know that his name was would forever be P-Bass to all these people. They did the same thing. They took apart his Volvo and they put it in the music room, and he let them do it.
Friend who hauled up. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm going to steal your thunder. Go ahead.
I'm just bumping out here. You
okay.
Can go.
A friend of mine who went to a rival high school with us, right? They put his principal's house on the market for like an insanely low price. When the principal got home that day, there was like a dozen cars in his driveway trying to get in and trying to come see the house.
Yeah.
Isn't that great? I always loved that.
That's so good.
So they managed to like hack into the multiple listing site and did really nice pictures of it and everything.
We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we've got some constructive criticisms and some hot feedback. We're also going to learn all about the journey of explorer Martin Frobisher from 743, correcting my mistake that I made at the top of the show 3 hours ago. We'll be right back right after this. Text messages. So I made a reference to the a journey that wasn't going to go well many, many years ago to the Northwest Passage. And I was trying to reference something that I had read previously about a guy named Shackleton. And 734 was nice enough to correct me on my misconception of this. This is what the text line is for. People like 734. Mr. O'Neill, when I get something wrong,
yeah.
or when you get a piece of trivia is maybe a little incorrect, like that the Northwest Passage is actually in the north. Pretty much in the Northwest. So he says the Northwest Passage is in the Northwest, hence the name Antarctica is in the Southern Hemisphere, and the explorer's name is Martin Frobisher. So thank you so much, 743. I salute you for being a proud American. And for engaging with the text line for what it is designed for. Spike, do you want to read this one while I clear my throat about the elementary principles?
Sure, you bet. Jana says, I'm a huge fan, Jack, and I was confused by your it's no big deal.
Yeah.
I think we need to hear more from you. You have a good team around you. Thank you for clarifying. Also, I agree with you, a cry for help. We need to give people help, not make them hide. Living under delusional influences is no way to live.
Yeah, so basically we were talking about those elementary school principals that were alleged to have done cocaine and had a firearm in their possession. And when I said it was no big deal, I think that people inferred that what I was saying is that it's no big deal that principals were doing cocaine and had guns on them. I probably should have been more clear in saying that the fact that they were in a parking lot rather than at a school is no big deal. And the fact that they were removed from their positions as a result of this is good for them. I think you're right. I think clarifying was probably a good idea. All too often, Spike, I think that my thought process moves a little bit too fast, maybe, and I do need to slow it down and maybe clarify for people. Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Reactive society. Basically, Spike and I were talking at 1 o'clock about how reactive we've become as a society. You can go back and you can listen to that, by the way, on the Cairo Radio app. You can listen to the entirety of the show, and you can hear me yell at Spike, and you can hear Chris threaten to quit 3 or 4 times a show, and you can hear Andrew trying to calm everybody down as, you know, Spike goes on one of his rants about the merits of Hostess snowballs versus the generic snowballs that you can get from the dollar store.
Exactly.
It's really quite compelling radio. So John says, there you go, Jack. Use intellect to point out the absurdity of sound bites, which is what we were talking about. Our society is so reactive, people can't see past your first sentence. If you were running for office, this is the type of soundbite that would be used by your opponent. You've got a radio platform, though, where you can de-escalate this reactivity. By the way, this is why we still need ranked choice voting. I'm a big advocate for ranked choice, by the way. I know there's a lot of people who think like I do about politics, who thinks that it's a scam or that it's a scheme. But I think that if we're looking at making every vote count the way that it needs to count in a democracy, ranked choice is the way to go. Again,
can I ask you about that really quickly? As far as I'm going to make sure I understand ranked voting. Say you got 3 candidates.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody half the people voted for candidate A. Mm-hmm. Half in first. Half the people voted for candidate B. Mm-hmm. In first, but everybody 100% voted for candidate C in second place. Mm-hmm. Does candidate C then get, having gotten no first place votes?
No, so it's weighted. So your vote is weighted as opposed to being
3 points for first place, 2 points for second place, 1 point
correct.
For third. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it, and in that way, it's spread out rather than it being just focused on 1, 2, and 3. You have a bell curve of the amount of preference, which is then weighed in to the end result. And I personally think it's a better way to go in terms of the way that we vote. So then you can actually put down people who you think might lose, but you still want that weight to go to them.
Got it.
So
thank you.
360 seems to be deeply upset at you, Mr. O'Neill, for your takes on shoplifting.
Yep.
It says 360 says Spico voted for the politicians that created the policies that enabled the criminals that caused both you two to have to get the guards to be able to access deodorant, Jack. That's a very long sentence. Maybe you should help Spico, in all caps, connect the dots between all these things. I don't tell people that they're wrong for voting for who they vote for. I go after policies. That's what you talk about with people. You don't. So like all these people now are going after DeSantis or they're going after Trump or whatever it is. You don't go after the politician. You go after the policies, because you can break down a policy to have it make sense to somebody. If you go after a politician, that's just like ad hominems. At that point in time, you're asking me like, well, who's a better actor? Is it De Niro or is it Pacino? It doesn't really matter. You talk about policy, right? You talk about actual work, right?
Yeah, the stuff that's going to make an effect in your life. Whether somebody's rude, belligerent,
You
know, smells bad, doesn't affect my daily life.
All right. Hey, Jacob Rummel has been listening to the show, and he sent me what John and Sherry shall be discussing coming up next. They're also going to be talking about those two principals who are on leave after the police report of drugs and guns. And so that should be fun radio. On Monday, Spike, I've decided we're not going to talk about the news. We're going to do a full 3 hours on the merits of Datsuns, the car. Remember the Datsun?
The precursor to Nissan, you bet.
Exactly.
Yes.
We're going to be talking all about Datsuns for 3 hours nonstop. Stay safe this weekend. We will see you on Monday, and goodbye.